when they began walking with the Lord Jesus for those 3 years, I can't help but believe that the transition of their minds from the daily responsibilities and obligations and demands, I believe that a lot of their fears began to just kind of drift away. I believe there's probably a day when they didn't even have to stop and think about it. I wonder what we're going to do. And as I thought about it, I wonder what we're going to see today. And the excitement of all the workings of the Lord. And I'm sure sometimes they just stood there and just looked at him. Can you imagine that? Just stood and looked at him. And I never want to lose that wonder of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, I want to sing for you today. I'm glad that when I received him, I'm glad he received me. And I'm glad I never have to walk alone and never be without the Lord. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm going to sing that simple song about him. Help us, guide us, Lord, in these holy scriptures. Give us understanding. Father,
Lord, we pray for that personal application by the Spirit as you feed every soul. And I do pray, Father, we would have a hunger and thirst for the voice of God. And I pray, Father, we would desire your sweet fellowship. And Lord, that we might have an ear to hear. Bless us now, Father, thank us and guide us and lead us in these scriptures. Father, do the work, Lord, the power of God in our lives. Transform with us and send us to saints. Thank you, Father, for what you've done, what you will do. We give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We notice here the Apostle Paul was praying for the believers here at the church of Ephesus. And notice he was praying that they would both know and receive the great provisions from God the Father. And as I was reading this familiar passage, the phrase jumped off the page at me, the Father. That is, that all things glory originated from God Himself. He is the Father of glory. And the desire of the Apostle Paul is that we as the believer might receive from God all the great and glorious things He has given us. And as we mentioned, we are in need of a miracle. And as we say, nothing is impossible for the Lord. And as I say, without you, oh, listen, what would life be? Thank God for Jesus in your life and in my life. Thank God for this taste of glory we've received and what we will receive. If we continue to walk in faith and walk in obedience to the Lord, God. And as I mentioned about the disciples, boy, they had seen some things that I'm sure, I believe in the first few years, I have the room, I don't think they have slept at night.
That's right.
I understand that. Did you see that fellow born blind get up? Did you see the expression on his face? Did you see him look and again look at creation and he saw the trees and the birds? He knew the sounds and now he knew it. Look. And don't you know they talked about that all night? And then you know that the leper fellow came and sat out there on the highway begging. And did you see him when he jumped up? And he took off running. And can you imagine? We should have followed him home and let him see what we know. I'm telling you what, dancing around the living room with his own Tommy and Terry home. Listen, and this is great thing, glorious thing got to find these letters.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, when you walk with God, you're apt to see some glorious things. And God is the God of glory. He's the Father of glory. I like glory in Jesus.
Amen.
I like glory in about every context I can think of. He calls us a very broad word. Yeah. But in every context, I like glory. As a matter of fact, first of all, what is the word glory? The word means brightness, magnificence. It means honor. It means distinguished. The Old Testament root word means weighty. That is, a great power, great influence, great importance. Listen, we think of the glory of God. One aspect of that glory is the fact that, listen, that God is life. He's life eternal. How glorious is that? Ever seen. Listen, no circumstance of situation can ever change or cause him. Listen, to have to change direction, of course, or listen, he's always the same, and he's always true, he's always holy, he's always faithful, always dependable, and he'll always love us, and we rejoice in the glory of God, in the aspect, of course, of his importance and value. Nothing important. We know this in our minds. We know we should put God first in everything. We don't always do it, but we know we should. Because there's nothing more important than God.
Amen.
There are a lot of things important to us, a lot of things we need, a lot of things that are necessities. And listen, we have to do all kinds of things, we have all kinds of obligations, we have all kinds of interests. But the truth is, we know it, we know it. We sit down and think about it. We count our blessings. We know this. We know this. That nothing's more important than God.
That's right.
Now help me, Lord, to bring. bring my practice up to that which I know to be true. But God first. The wonder of God's promise, God said, He'll put me first. And then you'll see God's blessing in all these other things. I say it. And I'll say it again. If you'll put God first, listen, you'll see it work in your family. You put your family first over God, you'll see the devil at work. Please put God first in all things. Listen, God rewards us when we put Him first. God knows the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. And so, listen, put God first. Listen, He is the true brother. We find the New Testament word means to show forth perfectional excellence. Listen, how great, how good, how perfect is God. When I look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, all I can do is cry, woe is me. Because you know what? Jesus' knowledge and His practice is perfectly aligned. We struggle with that. The Bible says, lay hold upon eternal life. Are you saved today? Say amen.
Amen.
Are you going to heaven?
Amen.
Well, then that's a certainty according to the Word of God. But Jesus lived every day, and His life reflected that knowledge. He knew God was with Him. He knew He had a purpose when He returned to the Father. And that impacted how He lived every day. He lived in the life and knowledge that He was eternal. And so, we see the impact that had in Him in relationship to this world, right? Would to God we as believers that that same truth would grab our hearts and change how we live this life and the impact of this life. And so when I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, I stand in awe. That is a man who walked. He was certainly a man in every sense of the word. He had to eat, he had to drink, he had to have rest, he had to sleep. He had to desire for shelter, all those things. There's such a detraction from all those kind of things. I just stand with that. He said, and I stand convicted, Lord. He said, there's a lot of things I know, but I want my practice to be in line. And so, I'm confessing you, I got much more room to grow in this Christian. And desire. And so, we think of this word glory. It means brightness, magnificence, honor, distinguished. It means weight of great power, influence, importance. It means to show perfection and excellence. And so, listen, glory belongs to God. Everything pales in comparison to Him. Number two, not only see glory, but I see glory of man. The glory of man. Man is able to prevent our society because of the system of honor, man, fortune, and all those kind of things. But I'm reminded, the Bible warns us in Galatians 5:6, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, and envying one another. Don't be desirous of vain glory. That is shallow, empty, and service. You and I understand that as we live in this world, we will see instances of vain glory being all around us. And that which is very shallow, that which is very superficial. In my probably 60 years of paying attention, I find out that some of the most famous Hollywood people are some of the most disgusting people that ever walked on the planet. And yet they're bowed down to and worship, and the cameras follow them in the newspapers. And yet, when they open their mouths, I realize, oh, sorry, a lot of folks, most of them are. And have been spoiled and given a sense of entitlement because we have given them glory. You know what you gave from that glory?
Mm-hmm.
You gave that glory. In other words, if some well-known famous actor walked in today, And we just simply treated him as a common ordinary sinner. Nice to have you. Good to have you. Glad you're here to worship the Lord. But I'm afraid we wouldn't respond that way. Let's be honest.
Did you see him walk in the back door?
And he's reprobate. He wouldn't want to sign the Bible. So let me find something to sign this and get these papers on the front page of the church. And we'd say, this is right here. Boy, here's the best seat. We just probably were here soon. But this is you gave me glory. You see, God gives God glory because God's glory is in Himself. God is faithful. It's not just what God does, but what He is. God is perfection. God is excellence. God is holy. God is pure. God is good. God is love. Listen, God is eternal. His glory is self-contained. As Jesus said to the Pharisees, they were to rebuke the children when they were crying out, Hosanna, Son of David. And the children said, if they didn't do it, God had the rocks to do it. Because God is worthy of praise.
Amen. Amen.
And so, we're surrounded by a vain glory. We see actors who reach the pinnacle of fame. But it's not long to wait a while. They can't do a role anymore. Because they got too old. We occasionally come across on the computer, you'll see an actress. Listen, that was a supermodel type back in the 70s, announced he doesn't leave the house because he's almost on the road to nowhere. And the beauty fades. We've seen athletes reach the pinnacle of world fame. And this is their abilities to play that particular sport leaves all people almost speechless because of the gift and talent they're given. And I grew up in the era like me did of Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. He also becoming the prettiest too. Prettiest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. Prettiest. But what a sad day when you see him devastated by Parkinson's disease and have to have help. And remains glory is certainly temporal and fading fast. The Bible warns us in 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower there falls away. We're just admiring the beauty of the flowers, the barber, ball. This absolute. What are the denims? That what that is? We were trying to figure that out. Absolutely beautiful. We have to look at them carefully, make sure they weren't fake. I mean, just that. They're glorious. But you know what? Thank you so much. The beauty of the days. You better take a picture.
Yeah.
They don't have their own. Austin said, big man of death, Zayda, for all his beauty, and can make that last for about 6 months, he'd be a billionaire. But we have a great appreciation for some to last. And there are several plants that last a long time. They flower a long time, but listen, some of them are the hardest to take care of. Isn't that the way it works in life? The beauty of a rose, A rose will keep blooming sometimes for a whole season. But I'm going to tell you, that's the hardest thing to fight disease and anything you'll ever find. If you can defeat black spot, you're better than 99.9% of the folks. Listen, we like things to be beautiful, we like things that last. Listen, God's beauty has never faded. And aren't you glad today the Bible said this same thing? To show forth greatness, perfection, and excellence. God is glory. Bible says that we praise and exalt Him that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are in Christ Jesus, who of God has made in us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so, listen, you and I, as we sit forth our praise, I don't want to be one that listen that goes around everywhere I go talking about some actor. I don't want to go around listen celebrating every conversation, that's all I mention and all I talk about. Woo, man, I tell you, he was so great. And listen, I remember going through the period of the 80s where everybody wanted to be like mine. All these shoes and wore shoes. Be like mine. Be like mine. Oh, listen, as you get saved and grow the Lord, you realize what true glory is. I want to be like Jesus, not like mine. And listen, his glory never fades. And listen, God is the Father of all things great, all things excellent, all things pure, all things good. Listen, he's the Father of it all, comes from him. And listen, I'm thankful for the miracle he brought to my soul when I called upon Jesus, my Savior. I'm thankful for the miracle prayers he mentioned when I called to him in great need and desperation. And he heard me and delivered me and helped me and blessed me and answered my prayer. I'm thankful to God in time of need. How this will help me pay a bill and put food on the table. I'm thankful, listen, that he helped me when we were in the hospital room. And listen, things didn't look good. But God showed up and great things happened. This is the power of God. He's the Father of all people.
Amen.
Amen.
And so listen. For the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to struggle to get through the message, but let me just go ahead and give you what we can. I want you to see the Father of glory wants to bring glory to your life. And you and I live in the whole mundane aspects of life and the cycle of life. Okay? You're born, you eat, you drink, you celebrate. That's a little morbid, but that's the cycle of life. Aren't you glad God brings the holy things to us?
Amen.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad there's more than the vain glory. Hey, you may be born, and you may be born with a silver spoon. You may be rich man of ancient. And you may get to have, listen, all kinds of fancy types of RVs, and you may get to celebrate, and you may get to spend the winter on top of the mountain, and you may get to spend the summer in Florida. But sooner or later, the glory fades, and sooner or later, you lose interest, and sooner or later, you lose the physical ability to go and do things anymore. I can still be saying that. Listen, I want something better than that. All that's vain glory, because it's shallow, superficial, and does not last. Look at the glory to redemption. Look back, verse number 6 and 7, chapter 1. And to the praise of the glory of his grace. Hallelujah. His grace is glorious. God is willing to do things for you. Nobody else would do or could. And listen to what he said. Wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Thank God that I was nothing more than a heather of accepted. But now, guess what I'm at? I'm in the family of God. All by the miracle of God's grace. The glory of his grace. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, for he gives his sins according to riches of his grace. You know what you'll find? That was glory, the glory of God's redemption, the willingness of God to save in verse number 8. God to save in verse number 8, and the work of God to save in verse number 7. And God, in his glory, he was willing to save you. Thank God. It was by his will. It was for God who so loved him. It was God. Who had that desire? He looked down upon man, the highest creation. And man chose sin. Man became a rebel. Man became an enemy of God. And the disease come to the Lord. But God was still willing to save the sinner. Listen, God wants to give glory. He's the Father. The glory for him, he's willing to save. The wisdom of salvation. How in the world? It can't be in the world's out of the world. How can the Holy God be reconciled to a sinner who turns to How can there ever be a reconciliation when the sin's already done? I listen to the transgression is already made, but we stand under the sentence of condemnation by the law. How in the world can a God who will not compromise, a God who told it, how is it in the world that he can reconcile, listen, this problem, this crisis of a holy God and a sinful man, but because he loved us, God found the way. And the way would never have occurred to man if he lived a billion years. Of the way God was able to reconcile the sinful man and the holy God by sending his son to become a man and pay the sin debt. And listen, counting his righteousness in our place, taking his wisdom came from out of this world. It didn't come from within. No one could have ever dreamed that a God of such power and glory and such holiness would make that sacrifice in order to save a sinner. I want to tell you, salvation is the love of God is glorious. The willingness of Jesus to lay down his life for sin is glorious. The willingness of God, who only needs to speak the word, would endure such shame and suffering and mockery and abuse by a band of sinners and not say the word, but keep his mouth shut.
Yes, amen.
You see, that's beyond man.
Yes, Lord.
No man had the glory to do such things that Jesus did. And so I find the Father of glory, wants to send the glory redemption to the lives of those who will receive him. And we see his willingness. We see his wisdom, we see his work, for Jesus wrought these things by his own desire and willingness. That we should be to the praise of his glory in first trust in Jesus. Number two, quickly, I see in this text of Scripture the Father's desire to give glorious things, not only redemption, but also the Father's glorious revelation. That he would send forth his wrath. We find the miracle of inspiration, that God would use a human vessel, and yet by his sovereign power, he would produce from that man the holy word of God. That, my friend, is glorious. You know why? Because everything man usually touches, or everything man does touch, has some type of corruption. He said, we're talking about the medical field. I realize great research proves in the prison. We understand great things have happened. I'm thankful for it. But I'm not stupid either. There is no more corruption. Trace the money. Trace the money. Trace the money. Money's at the root. Trace it. It always does have some kind of impact one way or another. And the best things that could have been done for men are somewhat restrained because of the corruption. The best of men are men at best. And the truth is that in the workings of man's flesh, and the good things that he's done, and the glorious things that he's done, there's still an element of corruption. But when it came to the Word of God, God took common men, and yet by his sovereign providence brought forth from human vessels the inerrant and infallible Word of God. Well, I'm telling you, his title is a miracle of God's glory.
Amen.
In giving us the revelation from God himself. Knowing devil things and his soul with every fire of his wicked deed to destroy his the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. God wants you to know Him. I want to tell you, in the world of pagan idolatry with all kinds of gods and all kinds of books and all kinds of religions and all kinds of philosophers and every conceivable thing in the world, and some lost man looks around and says, what in the world? They say this, that, and the other. Who says that? Where we're going, where we came from, this is life, this is God, this is how you find it. How in the world? There's such word. And God had the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And if a person will come with a true heart, he'll be led to the true life. God will make Himself known when there is worship in sincerity and truth. God will make Himself. You see, every other pagan idolatry in the world, every religious teacher, every concept of eternal life and how to live life that's best and have listened to all the mysteries of the spiritual world and all these voices and all these things, there's something they do not have. And that is the spirit of truth, the power of the Holy Ghost that brings the revelation of the heart. I have read countless testimonies of a sincere desire to the truth. You will be the They ended up as either Jesus or hell. Because the power of the Holy Ghost in God. I'm going to tell you, that's glorious. The truth can be known. And you and I can know the truth that sets us free. And we can have, through the knowledge of God, I've never seen Him. But thank God that because of His Word and because of His Spirit, thank God I know Him and I know of God and I know about God. I know this who He is. I know His desire. I know His holiness. I know His love. I know His purpose. Because it's revealed unto me that is good. He's the Father of glory. Oh, I wish I had more time. The Father's glorious rewards in verse number 18. He said, the eyes of understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of this call and what are the riches of the word of inheritance. I'm going to tell you, God is not done yet with showing and giving His glory. There's great things yet to come. You and I know this, that we shall behold Him face to face, and we shall see Him as He is. And the Bible teaches us that He's coming for His truth. And that you and I shall be snatched out of His place, and we shall be forever with the Lord, and He's going to prepare us a place in all the glory, and He's made us joint heirs with Him. There may be a person you had a relative, and they said, man, I'm sure wish I had been His widow. I can tell some stories about the neighborhood down here, but I'm not going to, because some of you might know the names of them, that got in the world and people got out of the world. By half their children to people last year. But aren't you glad? I'm just a hell of a servant sinner, but Jesus has included me, and I am joint heir with Christ. I'm in His will. He deserves that. All the glory. The only person fit for heaven is Jesus Christ. He was the victor. He's the one that defeated death and sin, the devil. He is the one that conquered it all. But the Bible says that He is bringing many sons to glory. Thank God for great things He has done. Let me close with a couple of simple thoughts today. Oh, listen. In this life we live, sometimes we kind of begin to be a little bit trapped in all of the mundane aspects of life. And it's easy to become down and discouraged and depressed. And you think, and I'm sure you probably said this, probably in your thought, is this all there is to life? Is this it? The answer is, you know Jesus. You're just getting started. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
And the truth is, I was just sent here to be a pillar of discernment. My home is the Lord. Hallelujah. And God has glorious things in store. And so, let me close with these thoughts. I don't need a preacher that closes 20 times, so I'm trying to get it back. So, like I said, the worst words the preacher ever says, and he's over. But listen, I like glorious things, not vain glory. Things that come from God. And you know what that motivates, encourages, and convicts me? If you want to walk in fellowship, if you want to see some glorious things, walk in fellowship. I'd have hated the God of the morning, aggravated, irritated, and Jesus was headed over to see Mary Martha, and Lazarus is dead. I'm just disgusted, I'm just upset, and I don't know where to let him die. We told him, well, in advance he's sick, he would go. I just, it's a bad day, I'm not going. Can you imagine when Jesus come back and said, what did I miss? You want to say hello to Lazarus? You know, if we have Lord, God wants to show us. And so, fellowship with Him, walking with Him, worshiping Him, listen, following Him. And listen, without faith, the Bible says, you will see nothing from the Lord. Faith is the first essential requirement. We've got to believe and trust in Him. Faith is His own mountain, part of the mountain. But listen, it's only by faith that's consistent and true that you're able to see the glory of the Lord. I like to see glorious things. I like to experience glorious things. But they're only found in God. And remember this little phrase, only time used in the Bible. He's the Father of glory. The Father of Him. I want to be close to Him.